10 minutes, we'll have the latest information on the fight against Ebola, with news and updates from Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Liberia. We'll hear why the World Health Organization thinks flight restrictions may be counterproductive, and we'll debunk some of the myths that have been spread around the disease. In South Sierra Leone, where something close to normal life begins today after the 30, and its people are forced to stay at home. Actually, the curfew or lockdown, as it's been called, was a success. People broadly complied with instructions not to go out. Tim Mansour has been working in Sierra Leone with BBC Media Action and for a special assignment program has been finding out what the lockdown is like for some of Sierra Leone's 6 million residents.
We decided that it would be interesting to speak to a cross-section of people during the 3 days when they weren't going to be allowed out onto the street. Try and build up a picture of what was actually happening and how people were surviving it. And one of the people we were in touch with is called Gladys Freeland, and she owns a small restaurant and juice bar in Freetown, but obviously she was having to spend 3 days at home.
I am saying thanks, because the way I see, not only like destroying life, but also destroying the economy. My business was at the peak, you know, we are just picking up. And then now we are almost at zero. It seems as if I will have to start all over again. So it's devastating.
Ebola is one of the worst things that could happen to a country like Sierra Leone, because it's singularly unequipped to cope with it. You may recall there was a civil war there that ran through most of the 1990s, and that destroyed pretty much all the infrastructure. Asma James is the station manager of Radio Democracy, also in Freetown, and she told us that Ebola is in some ways even worse than the civil war.
You don't know who is infected. Like the civil war, you will hear the gunshots. If you are in Lomé, then you will know the rebels or the soldiers are at Abadiro. For this one, you don't know who to trust, you don't know what is happening. So it's so confusing, and I think this one is more dangerous than the corona we have.
The upshot of the 3 days is that there was a brief rumour on Sunday night that there was actually going to be explosions. But when we rang the emergency operations centre on Sunday night just to have that confirmed, they said no, they weren't going to extend it, but it's likely that they'll run another similar exercise within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Tim Mansour there, and you can hear more from Sierra Leone and assignment on Thursday. Ahead of the lockdown, there are worries that the 76-hour curfew might cause violence or punish people to hide away from suffering from Ebola. One aid agency that has been today, an NGO dealing with health, sanitation and child welfare. Its assistant antivirus in Sierra Leone, Captain Owen, told me she's surprised by how smooth the operation went, but it's caused the idea of the treatment.
I think definitely information needs to get out to people, and that's important, but I think we also need to be mindful of people's livelihoods. Many people's livelihoods are already suffering a lot because of increase in prices. They maybe live in areas that are quarantined and they can't get any jobs. And so I think we need to be mindful of the economic impact of not allowing people to get out on a regular basis.
Not surprisingly, the lockdown is in constant need. Jenna Donyango from BBC Monitoring has been looking at what the papers say.
According to the Sierra Leone Times, the lockdown has been declared a success by the authorities. The paper quoted the coordinator of the country's emergency operations centre, Stephen Gautier, as stating that it had achieved 75% of its target of reaching 1.5 million households across the country with correct information on where and expected scope. Kotorioko newspaper carried a statement issued by the Sabuga Affair of the U.S. Embassy in Sierra Leone, Kathleen Fitzgibbon, in which she praised Sierra Leoneans for complying with the lockdown, calling it an amazing show of national unity. The Sierra Leone Telegraph was not so pessimistic on the second day of the lockdown, listing everything that had gone wrong on the first day of the exercise, such as the late distribution of logistical equipment needed by the volunteers, and the initial refusal by the volunteers in Freetown to accept the government's pay offer to participate in the exercise. Also, according to the article, people initially refused to accept the antiseptic soap handed out by the volunteers, fearing it contained Ebola virus.
Next news from Sierra Leone, then. This is your first Mara reporter, Al Hassan Singh, who's on the news.
The just-ended Ebola lockdown in Sierra Leone has been a hot topic of discussion here in Guinea, especially among those for and those against similar measures being adopted here. However, it would appear that the authorities here will not be persuaded in such measures. The government here thinks that it is coping relatively well with the epidemic. Guinea has been involved in an independent struggle in several aspects and does not want to see itself oppressing its own population at this time of modern civilization. A Guinean government official called for the lockdown to be tried here responded by saying, and I quote, "Over 650 deaths from Ebola at the moment, but statistically, we are better than our neighbors. We still lock people in their homes."
Here in Liberia, news that Sierra Leone had been locked down for 3 days got people wondering how the naturally sick, happy people of that neighboring country would cope. But the seemingly successful end of the exercise has also got public acting while Liberia cannot further sue. But there is a night curfew here, which runs from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. And so outsiders who think Ebola and its restriction have entirely stopped the night lamp here to pass the night. Many Liberians now just see Ebola, another situation like malaria, that they can live with and find solution to.
Jonathan Taylor, they're reporting from Monrovia, which people are trying to find a move around the night curfew. And before him, we heard from our husband, Sebastian Connery. Listening to news about West Africa with me, Kim Sakanessa, with the latest from the Ebola crisis. And there's been some rare good news today. High schools in Nigeria reopened after the start of term was delayed for more than 2 weeks to try to prevent the spread of the disease. The World Health Organization said today that the Ebola virus appeared to be contained in Nigeria. The WHO has also been giving out more advice. Let them understand it from the BBC's health team and please explain to me what the organisation has to say about flight cancellations.
A number of countries have restricted flights into and out of affected countries. Some experts say that this is definitely no time to rest because it means that things like medical supplies, protective equipment and people who want to help just can't get into these countries quickly enough. They're also saying that flight cancellations affecting trade and the economy in these countries that are already hard hit.
Another issue that the WHO has been dealing with is myths and trying to bust some of the myths around the Ebola virus. Can you speak about some of the main ones?
I've been trying to bust these myths for some time. One is that drinking salt water can help you get rid of the virus. This is simply not true, and actually it's quite dangerous. The World Health Organization has said that 2 people in Nigeria have died from drinking lots of salt water because they thought they'd get rid of the virus. There's also these myths that drinking condensed milk or eating raw onions could help you get rid of the virus. But actually, that really isn't true. The way to protect yourself is to avoid close contact with anyone who's showing signs or symptoms of Ebola.
That's it for this edition of News About West Africa. I'll be back at the same time tomorrow with more international events in Ebola. And as you hear from someone who got the virus and survived, if you want to give us your comments, join the discussion on the World Service Facebook page. In the meantime, you can go to our website, bbc.com/Ebola. Thank you for joining me.
The BBC World Service.
Thousands of people have already died from Ebola in parts of West Africa, in an outbreak the UN says is unparalleled in modern times.
In Liberia, the worst-hit country, we're about to warn doctors for every 100,000 people.
So, do failed health systems in Africa make health epidemics inevitable?
And join me, Akwesi Safon.
And me, Graham Easton, for the BBC Africa Debate.
Friday at 19 GMT on the BBC.
crisis.
Which made its first fortune in the oil industry, set its multi-million dollar philanthropic organization expanding to divest from fossil fuels and reinvest in clean energy. The Rockefeller Brothers Fund is the most significant organization to join a campaign to reduce investments in fossil fuels. It raises concerns about climate change.